Question was asked. When we view wearing blue jeans, would that be considered a Jewish thing because blue jeans, he says, was invented by Juhu Levi Strauss? Yeah, okay, I don't think it was invented by him because jeans, it seems, was worn by sailors way back when, but we'll make believe it was invented by Levi Strauss. Okay, so in a nutshell, the whole concept of not doing things that the Gentiles do is worded in the Torah, lo telechu b'chukot, do not go in the statutes of the nations that I am kicking out of the land. And our sages said, what does that mean, don't go in their ways? What does that mean? So in halacha, we have two defining characteristics. We're not allowed to do something, obviously, we're not allowed to do something that they do because they're pagans. So if they pass their children through fire, and an evolvement of that was that when a baby was born, they'd wave the baby around the candle. So we're not supposed to wave a baby around the candle when a baby's born, okay? It's obvious. And then you have superstitious things that are prohibited. That's a different prohibition. So what's this prohibition? So the halacha says it breaks down into two things. One is things that they do that there's no rational explanation for. Throwing salt over the shoulder. Why do you do that? People put a penny under their oven. Why do you do that? So there are all kinds of things that people do that we have no rational explanation for. So our assumption is that that's an evolvement of a pagan practice. And that's why, that's number one. When the Torah says don't do things the Gentiles do, the Torah is telling us don't do things that there's no rational explanation for. There are all kinds of things that people do. Knock on wood. What does that do? Maybe you know what that does. Or I can give another few wonderful examples, but I don't want to give you any ideas. So things that have no rational explanation, we assume they are of pagan sources. And so that's number one. Number two, and this is where we'll discuss genes in a second. Number two is there are things that Jews do different out of modesty. For example, it was customary that Jews would keep their hair cut relatively short. And non-Jews, like when they'd go to war, when they were knights, so they had huge locks of hair. And this was an act of arrogance. So the second defining characteristic, the second type of action which is prohibited when the Torah says don't do things like the non-Jews are things which we do different than them, and the reason we do them different is out of modesty. So in ancient times, the Jews would only wear black sandals, and the non-Jews would wear all kinds of colors of sandals. So you'll ask me, is there any biblical prohibition to wearing colorful sandals? Technically not. But once you see that the Jewish people have a code of dress that's markedly different, and in that sense is more humble than the way the non-Jews dress, so then breaking that code would fall under that character, under that definition of don't, the biblical prohibition, do not go in their footsteps. So today I think you'll see many Jews wearing jeans. You can't say that it's a non-Jewish thing to wear jeans. Jews only wear plaid pants, suit pants. It's not true. So you can't say that wearing jeans would constitute going in their ways. I can't think of a garment right now that they wear that we don't wear. I can't think of anything in our present day. You know, maybe I'm not thinking of stuff. Maybe I don't know enough. But I don't know of anything that falls under that category as far as our dress code today. There is a third characteristic, which is a different prohibition, and that is if the non-Jews were to make a decree that every Jew has to do a specific act, and the logic behind that decree is because they want to break us and cause us to stop keeping the Torah. So then we would be prohibited to do it and we would have to give up our life for it. Even if they told us to change the color shoelace we wore. What difference does it make what color shoelace you wear? No. It's all a part of their trying to break our spirit so that we will ultimately, they're trying to get us to do their way. That's what's called in halacha shmat. Shmat is when they're trying to forcibly convert us.
which historically was much of our history. Many nations tried to forcibly convert us. So during those times, even if they make a simple decree, they say Jews have to wear blue buttons on their shirts. Is there anything wrong with wearing a blue button? Jews have to wear a black button. Jews, whatever their decree is, being that it's part of a movement to try and break our spirit, so then the halacha says you have to be willing to give up your life, even on arkita dimisane, the lace of the shoe. Misane are the shoes, yeah? Even over that, we have to fight to the death, because it's about breaking our spirit. Okay, so Baruch Hashem, that's not what's going on today, right? So that's in a nutshell, that's the biblical concepts we're dealing with. It could be that in general, we try to dress in a way that will affect us, and the way a person dresses, we say, achitzoniut mashpeh al apnimiut, the way you dress externally affects you internally. So some people will say, I grew up in a culture where jeans was respectable. Fine. Now, some people say, if you wear suit pants, you'll behave differently. That's already a question of how you work on self-development. And my recommendation is always slow and easy. Slow and easy so that it remains steady. Because the easiest thing to change is the external. And very often people feel like they've accomplished a lot when all they've really done is change the external. My rabbis did not grow a beard for years. They didn't grow a beard because until they finished Shas, and I don't know what more, like, until they really became very, very learned, they didn't grow a beard. I when I came to Yeshiva, I already had a beard. I mean, I had a beard from a younger age, but I discovered that my teachers, when I studied their history, they did not grow a beard at such a young age. Deliberately, because they felt like you have to be of a certain stature before you grow a beard. Okay, there could be other reasons to grow a beard. I'm saying growing a beard can have other benefits. I grew up in a culture, not in a culture, but in a neighborhood where there were girls who were starting up with guys. And when they saw me with a beard, they kept away from me. So it was a good tool to keep myself out of trouble. I'm saying, right? No, I'm saying where I grew up, there were both. There were people who were very, very modest, but there were also, so it was a good tool at my stage of the game where I was saying, it also helps, like if you have, for many guys, if they have relatives that are accustomed to hugging them and kissing them in their family events, so if you show up with a beard and you show up with a hat and you show up with a jacket, so then they're a little more cautious. They ask, am I allowed to? And then you can say respectfully, we can say hi, we could talk, but I'm not supposed to hug and kiss a cousin. We can be respectful of one another without that. So I'm saying there are other benefits sometimes to growing a beard, etc. But in general, that's how my teachers went. So going back to your original question, as far as our clothing, biblically, I don't think it falls under any of the categories. As far as working on ourselves, so that a person has to decide if he's at a stage where it makes sense. And very often, I say, it's better not to make radical changes. It's better that a person continues what he's used to and grows internally. And slowly, eventually, a person also, that should affect the external, but down the road. Once a person's really grown on the inside.